Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What's good, internet? It is May 1st, 2017. Workers of the world unite. It is May Day.
It's gonna be May.
Get your 8-hour work week. Day.
Yeah, no, hell yeah.
If we keep pushing, we're going to get the 8-hour work week.
Baby.
Other people, 8 hours of work a day. I'm pushing for the 8-hour work
what
week.
What day would be your 2-hour
Let me tell
day?
You, if we could just automate things, we should be living in surplus luxury communism. That's all I'm saying.
Surplus
I'm
luxury out there. Communism.
Knowing like as that. We do how full automation is a friend to the worker.
The full automation is terrible. It's terrifying. Read the fragment on machines in the Grundrisse. Marx lays it out for you.
Mm-hmm.
But we could just seize it. We could turn it around.
Does Nier depict a fully automated future?
No.
That doesn't sound like luxury
communism. Well, actually,
Nier, there's money in Nier.
There's
still
money.
Currency. And you get it from killing things. So it might be worse.
So it might be what life is now. I see.
You get it from mostly killing other robots, right?
Mostly. Oh, but there are different types of robots. There's a whole spoiler cast if you want to hear us go into this. You can find that on your feed.
I'm just
right
saying
now.
It sounds like a proletarian fable.
There are proletarian fables inside of Nier. It is not a proletarian
Depending
fable.
Depending on the ending, right?
Depending on a lot of things.
I see. All right.
You should go listen to that if you haven't listened to that yet. If you're curious about our thoughts on Nier, you can listen to Patrick Klepek, myself, and Alex Navarro from Giant Bomb talk about Nier and sad robots and more sad robots. And also sad machines and sad androids. They're different kind
There's
of.
There's a lot of different kinds of sad.
Yeah,
I
don't
understand.
Paint with too broad of a brush, right? Everyone's
you're
sad
right.
in a different
right.
way.
They're all sad. They're everyone sad in different ways. Joining me on this Monday morning, Danielle Riendo.
Hi.
Patrick Klepek.
I'm still getting over how Danielle chose to start this podcast.
It's going to be May.
Is it?
It is.
I can't get the image of ramen out of my head now. Justin Timberlake's old hairstyle.
Yep. It's good ramen hair.
It's
I
good
love
ramen.
It.
JT had that ramen hair. Patrick. Did you ever aspire? Because you have curly hair.
Yeah.
When you were younger, were you ever? Did you ever think that could be me?
Did
I could be. It's
that
gonna
could be me.
Was
is that
ever
you
your
said?
Thought? I know you're more of a Weezer or more of a Rivers Cuomo person.
Yeah. No. I got a little bit of the JT stuff growing up. I don't know if not on my personal
Rivers?
Idol radar, but
Rivers
I got more of
is,
the
is Rivers Cuomo, right?
Doogie Howser. Sort of like era of what I looked like, but I never quite went to the frosted tips route. I thought about it. No, I didn't.
I want to see it now.
I think he thought about it.
I straightened my hair in high school. That's the furthest I went to trying to do something with my hair, other than not cutting it for the better part of 2 years.
Well, we've images.
There are. I don't know where they are. There are images. I've not erased them. They might exist on the internet. I feel like I might have shared it at some point. But when I didn't cut my hair for the better part, because with curly hair you have limited options.
Yes.
It's like it's short, it's medium, it's long. Have fun with curly hair.
I got you.
And so I just didn't cut it for the better part of a couple of years in high school. And there are definitely images on the internet of my extremely long hair from high school
that I've seen.
That I would sit in first period and of high school and just sit and pick it out. Because I wasn't paying attention to physics anyway. And
true.
Then there was this one. It was a challenge to multiple girls in high school. Like, if you can straighten my hair, I'm willing to allow the experiment to happen. Multiple girls failed the straightening test.
Wow.
Like, the hair was just a lot to wrestle with. But this one girl, Stacy, who was in our friend group, was like, I'm going to do this. And she came over before school and straightened it out. And my hair was extremely long. As it turns out, if you don't cut your hair for several years and then you straighten it, It's yeah. long.
Patrick, go Stacy.
Patrick with the good hair. Yeah. Also joining us, Rob Zachney, all the way from... Are you still in Boston? Where are you at now?
In Boston, about to head back to L.A.
Okay.
All right.
And how are things in Boston? How's your hair?
Straight, as always. rapidly
have you
graying.
Have done anything wacky with it?
Yeah, what's the wackiest your hair has been?
Okay, so there are two things that happened with my hair once.
Oh, that's promising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had this thing when I was a kid where, like, I started to question what the adults were telling me. Because
yeah,
there were certain
fair.
Things that just didn't make sense. Like, ice didn't seem
that
slippery.
You're a unique kid, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, what a wacky rebel I was. But I was like, ice doesn't seem that slippery. Like, I don't know, like adults are making that up because I was, like, 3 feet tall. And so ice wasn't that slippery. I had a low center of gravity.
Wait.
But I was like, doesn't seem that slippery.
I see. Gotcha.
So then I was like... You were 1 year old during this time.
I was not a giant yet.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
So then I was like, I'll bet gum in your hair wouldn't really be all that bad.
No.
Rob.
And what was your motivating force here?
Look, I don't know. I was really young. So the motivating force was like learning about this magical world we're in and whether or not the adults could be trusted. And indeed, the gum did not like stick in my hair. And I was like, what a lie. But then I was like, this isn't a fair test. What if we really work it in there? Then let's see how this gum thing turns
Rob.
Out.
Rob.
I was real young.
It's, you know what, though? It is dedication to investigation
That's
like that
correct.
That
He's
led us to bring Rob on to Waypoint. I knew
yep.
he'd dig for the true answers. He wouldn't stop at a surface-level investigation.
No, yep. Gotta give it a fair shot. And then my parents came home, and then I was like, okay, so you got gum in your hair. You can't, like, you can't let them know because they think you're a fucking idiot. Like, this vindicates their belief that you need to be, like, managed. So, here's what you're going to do, Zachney. You're going to comb your hair. You're going to make it look nice and make it
so
look
you're
normal.
You hide the gum
you
in the hair?
I sure
over?
Tried.
So, try to get it deeper within the hair?
And that's how a comb kind of got stuck in the gum and sort of twisted it around.
This is body horror. The thing we're doing is Hostile 6.
Oh, boy.
So my parents come home, and it's one of those, like, little, it's just one of those, like, cheap barber's combs and everything. Kind of stuck in there. And I was like, okay, so here's the thing. I got curious, and you were right about the gum thing. And now I need to know how we can break this up. It turns out there was no solution for that except scissors.
No. Scissors break it up.
Yeah, scissors.
You
scissors
you
sort of that
peanut
out.
Butter.
Is that
peanut butter can help?
Yeah,
it's my sister.
I've seen the peanut butter trick
May
used before.
May have been
before.
My fault.
Yeah, peanut butter.
It's
like it greases up
yeah.
your hair, and then you can like slide. It's essentially like you can't get
you can
all
get
the gum out, but you can get pieces
yeah.
of the gum out
yeah.
and save
That's
part of your
weird.
Hair.
It does help. It does. Yeah.
Interesting.
Help.
But then your hair smells like peanut butter.
Well, I mean, it's going to be gummy. You know.
Yeah.
You gotta make
a
hard choice.
The dogs would have dug that.
Peanut buttery or gummy?
So that was hair incident one. The other hair incident was
there's a list.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a widow's peak, and once a barber screwed it up on the eve of class photos, kind of shaved it down, and it like didn't look right, and kind of looked screwy. And I was like, you know what I need is a clean shaving line up there. And so I just ended up sort of like shaving back my hairline. And look, I looked great on photo day. The problem came later.
Did you?
When I had this,
We need proof.
I need proof that you quote looked great on photo day.
Look, I totally did. Right? I was like, actually, I was a little kid, so they didn't have you doing the whole like pose with your chin on
right.
your fist thing. But no, photos looked great. Okay, that's not really true. You could sort of see the fringe already growing back in. But that's when my parents figured out what I'd done. They were like, why?
Did it look like you were wearing someone else's scalp? Because it sounds like it looked like you were wearing someone else's scalp.
There was like a... It did sort of look like I was wearing a toupee over a toupee. Anyway, it would have prepared me for life in politics.
We talk about hair. This is our hair cast.
You know what? Hey.
I think we need to go all the way around on this.
Okay, yeah. I had bad hair in high school. What?
That's all you're going to say,
I
Austin?
Had like little – I had – there's a whole situation. I had dreads through college, through the first 2 years of college.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I did thin.
Show
thin
me
dreads.
The receipts.
Not like,
show me the receipts.
Like, I might have receipts with me. I might have like my old college ID or something. It was bad. It was a bad look. And then I got into a really bad breakup.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'd wanted to cut my hair. It's okay. An important thing. I wanted the dreads gone, but my girlfriend was like, nah, you need to keep those. And then we got
she wasn't going to have to live with them.
She liked them way more than me. And wow. I
so you
broke
took
up
ownership
with her.
Of your hair.
Oh, yeah. And then she took ownership of a lot. And then...
no wonder you're into communism.
It was not a good... Yeah, right? And then we broke up, and I cut them all from my head. And I've been going natural ever since. It's
I
been
love
like
that
a,
you
a
have a picture
pride.
From yourself.
I don't think I do. I think my old college ID is no longer in my way too stuffy.
Was it like a BioShock Infinite thing where, like, in the wake of this breakup, you just sort of, like, cast a steely gaze at yourself in the mirror and pulled the knife
you
out?
You know what? Not a knife.
razor?
But it was scissors. Yeah. It okay, was scissors. Like, I did do, like, first pass myself and then had a friend come over and, like, do, like, a proper, like, shape up on me. But...
All right.
That was I needed it. It needed to go.
It needed to be gone. Just
shout
like
outs
her.
To shout outs to Audra.
See, Audra.
She's doing very well these days.
I hope she is. You know, doing well and understanding that somebody's hair is their own.
So, speaking of hair,
yeah,
Danielle, tell me about your hair.
I did more weird things with like. All right, this is gonna sound a little bizarre. I used to like do stuff with my eyebrows. Like, I used to, like, there were times I put, like, tiger stripes of bleach in my eyebrows because I thought it would look cool. And I went to my hairdresser.
Wait, say that again?
I used to, like, okay, so for ladies, this is definitely, for anybody, but
okay.
As a lady, I was taught to yes. bleach the parts of my eyebrows that were, like, a lot. This is a thing
sure.
in the early 2000s that
yeah,
we all,
yeah.
not all, but many of us did.
I pluck my eyebrow. That's not a problem.
I do too, but
yeah.
like this was like, oh, to just bleach it and make it all super blonde so it doesn't
right.
show. So I made like tiger stripes in my eyebrows because I thought it would look pretty cool and rad. And I went to my hairdresser and my hairdresser.
Wait. Yes. You made tiger stripes
yes.
with bleach in your eyebrows?
Yes.
How'd that look?
I thought it looked cool.
Are there photos of that?
Oh, probably. I don't think I have them.
I have a question about the tiger stripes.
Yes.
Okay. Were they vertical, like running up toward your forehead, or
were
they
like
sideways?
Side.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't like all side, but it was like a diagonal.
I'm sure it was a
it
look.
It was like this.
I'm sure it was very striking.
It was very striking.
We've all been young.
I went to my hairdresser, who was a dear friend. She went to like my college graduation party. Hairdressers are a thing in Rhode Island. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Rhode Island. Your hairdresser is
That's
like your
yeah, yeah.
family friend, basically, if you get in with them. And she was like, Danielle, what the fuck did you do?
No.
She did, I was like 16
totally
sitting
straight.
There thinking I was being cool. And she's like, Danielle, what the fuck? What did you do? Was this an accident? Were you like trying to, you know, bleach them and you fucked up and now they look like tiger stripes? That's about it. I never did anything too weird to my hair.
You did
hair,
enough.
But, like...
You've done enough.
The eyebrows.
That's a good...
Done enough, I guess.
You should just be like, oh, I was in a play at school, and they needed me to do
I
this.
I needed to be Tiger Girl.
I'm Tiger Girl in the
you
school
know,
play. Tiger Girl versus the Submariner.
Cool
you know what? It's not just May Day here. It's something else. It's the day that we got flavored seltzer in the fridge. No,
sure
it is that. It's 6 months to the day that Waypoint officially launched.
Holy shit.
We launched technically November 1st, 2016. It is May 1st,
and that was
2017.
A day.
I think the math is right. And if it's wrong, I need someone to tell me before this post I'm writing goes up later,
yeah.
in which I say it's 6 months to the day that we launched. I just think that that's pretty rad. I just want to thank everybody who's watching, everyone who's here on the stream, the production staff. Like, it has been a pretty rad six months. Obviously, I've been here for a little bit longer than that. Patrick, you came on a little bit before. Danielle, you came on before we actually launched by a couple of weeks.
Days
yeah. But
during
it has
week.
Been 6 months yeah. since the site like went live and got new content on it. 6 months since we did our ridiculous 72-hour live stream.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to say thanks to everybody. And it's been weird because, like, on one hand, it feels like it was yesterday that we were all exhausted. And, like, Patrick and I was, like, grabbing Patrick and bringing him outside onto the deck to be like, all right, we have no idea who is in this next segment. I don't know who either of those people are.
Oh, my God.
Someone
What's
called
baseball?
In a favor.
Who is a baseball
What's okay,
player?
Baseball.
Who is a baseball?
But it's going to be okay.
Austin,
you and me,
I don't
right.
understand rap. Explain rap to me.
Oh, boy.
I did my best. We started with the basics. And eventually, you know, it all went really well, and I'm glad that that was great. But it feels like that was yesterday. But also kind of feels like we've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
It's so weird. This, like, weird
It's like a beautiful marriage.
Oh.
It's like it feels like it's been a long time because you feel like you know everybody so well.
Right.
But it feels new and fresh because you're in love.
It's very sweet.
I'm in love with Waypoint.
Thank you.
You know?
That's really good.
Thanks.
You know, so that's just, I want to say that up top, and we're going to, actually, I guess I can also say this because it's happening, is we're going to kind of commemorate that this week with a cool thing called Pilot Week, where we are debuting a bunch of new stuff. We are starting with a short form video today from a new series called Cardboard. You'll see that in a little bit. I think 2 p.m. that'll go live.
Yes.
And then some other cool short form video franchises, like styles of video, basically. Some new stuff on the editorial side, and then also forms. Waypoint's own forms are going to kick off later today. So be there. Please make sure you police yourselves.
Be nice.
Make sure that you follow the rules. Be good. It'll be on a place. It'll be a place.
Be good and be good at it.
Right. Thank you. Waypoint. Be good and be good at it. Yes. Or be good at it. Or?
It's usually or for the weekend, but this time I want them to be both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, check that out. It'll be a situation where, like, the comments don't show up on the pages. So if you just want to go to the website and read the stuff without needing to see people fight about which Dark Souls is the best, totally doable. But I guarantee... Patrick, put your finger down. Patrick, put your finger down. Put the finger down.
Oh, boy.
Put it down. No. Two. You did two. Ha, ha, ha. You put up one finger to knock down the other finger. That's two. Dark Souls 2 is the best one. And so we're going to do the forums. You're going to find links to the forums at the bottom of most of our posts. And there will also be a thing in the sidebar that you can click on to go
to. And we'll be in there.
We'll be in there.
Active participants in the community.
That's our plan anyway. So that's like news from around the site.
That's very exciting.
I think that's probably it for the things I had to bring to the table today. What's everybody been doing over the last couple of days? How's your lives been? Are you playing any video games?
It's raining a lot. Yeah, it's raining too much. So much so that there's a golf course down the street. The area we live in, there are when we bought our house, some areas are in a flood zone. Ours was not. Just depending on the topography of the area, you then have to get like flood insurance, even though we're not like next to a river. It's just certain rain can lead to a lot of problems. And there's this golf course not too far from us. My favorite thing after a rain is to go see the golf course get flooded. And we've had the worst rain we've had for like the last 4 days. And if you go over to the golf course, I mean, literally, like, it's just... you can't see the golf course anymore. It's just a lake.
Nice. Take that, golf.
That's mean. I like golf. I'm not good at it, but I hit
golf's
the ball.
Fun.
I used to run on golf courses a lot in college. That was a place where we
were you allowed
did a lot
to
of
do
training.
That?
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't
deal.
Like a you were, amazing what? Country club. It was like a golf course for kind of normal people.
Okay.
And we were allowed to run on it. Yes. Our coach had an arrangement or something with them.
Did you run on it when there were people like playing golf still?
All the time.
Did you ever fuck
but
up someone's game?
We had to shut up when we were actually near somebody who was, you know, about to take a swing.
Did you ever get tempted to not shut up?
I mean, I was usually breathing so hard that I wasn't, you know. This was like during cross-country training. It wasn't like, you know.
So I worked at a golf course.
Ooh. Oh.
And that kind of turned me against golf.
People who play golf are assholes, Rob.
Yeah, I worked at the golf course, and I was I did some course ranger duties, and also at the end of the day, cleaned up the golf carts. And
I apologize.
Yeah, a couple.
What did you do to that golf cart, Patrick? Why did you leave the mess in the golf cart?
You put a lot of cigar ash in there by accident. I realize
a lot of cigar ash, a couple cases of Natty Ice.
Yep.
Natty Ice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But the other thing, like, this is when I realized, working ranger duties, you sort of learned all the seething resentments that club members had against each other. Like, there were certain, like, parties that would always, like, call in and be like, we need to play through these motherfuckers right now. These guys suck. And it was, like, it was just some beef between these groups. You'd drive out there and you'd watch their pace of play. It was fine. You'd be like, look, I'm going to ask to see if you can speed it up. And then the guys who, like, you were telling to speed it up would get pissed. And they'd be like, don't ever come out here again, son, unless there's a real issue. Like, fuck you. All that kind of stuff going on. But the really good thing, two things really stick out in my mind. One is one day there was a cold snap. And temperatures got down to like, it was like 48 degrees in August. And I was wearing my freaking t-shirt and hosing off golf carts. And I got cold as hell. The clubhouse was full of like golf sweaters and stuff. Like there were plenty of warm clothes. And I was like, could I just like wear one for my shift? Because I'm freezing my ass off out there. And they were like, you got to pay for that.
Wow.
I was paid Indiana minimum wage. I think that was like $5.25 an hour at the time.
Oh. Workers of the world unite.
Yep. Mayday.
The Mayday. Cheapest sweater on sale was $80.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I was freezing my ass off, and I was so cold. I bought the fucking sweater, which wiped out all my proceeds for the day. Like, I basically worked to own a fraction of a sweater. The other
you
thing
got
that,
half a sweater.
Yeah. The other thing that sticks out in my mind, and by the way, I'm leaving out all the racism stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I got it.
That.
Don't,
that
I've been on a golf course.
Here?
Don't worry.
Yeah. So the other thing that happened is one day, these guys come back from a day at the course with golf carts just trashed, like covered in like sticky beer residue, cigar ash,
Natty
everywhere.
Ice residue too.
Yeah, it's nasty. Real mess, real cleanup job. In one of the golf carts is a Rolex. Like an honest to God Rolex. Like it's an expensive freaking watch. And for a minute, I consider it, right? Like, screw these guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's Mayday. Well, it wasn't, but, like, I considered it. But, you know, obviously I'm not going to do that. I take the Rolex into the clubhouse and everything and forget about it. A couple days later, I am summoned to the clubhouse. Because the person who owned the clubhouse, the person who owned the Rolex had called in asking about their watch and had it. And wanted to give me a tip.
Oh, buddy.
So I go in,
ooh,
and this middle-aged like dude like thanks me for my honesty and my hard work. And he wants to show he values that. And this is not a lie at all. He hands me a crisp $5 bill. And then the wife of the golf course owner is like, now what do you have to say to the man?
Fuck off.
Isn't that a nice gesture?
Now what do you have to say to the nice man, Rob? Come on, say it. Be gracious.
Yeah.
Say thank you.
I sort of stared at it in shock, and I was like, yeah, I said thank you. It was my pleasure. Really, it's just my job, and got the fuck out of there. And so badly wished I'd stolen that fucking watch. Like immediately, yeah. I was like, I should have stolen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like fuck that guy.
That come
like,
on.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of eat the rich comments right now.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Chat is exploding.
So anyway, so that was when golf as a recreational activity was largely destroyed for me. Like I still like to watch it
right.
From time to time.
That's when Rob decided to become the weather wizard and flood all of the golf courses
yep.
in the world.
Yep, that's how it works.
I open those waters recede. There's like bodies, man. Like, that's...
Oh, my God.
That guy, his watch, the wife...
It's
you know,
the hand sticking up out of the water with the Rolex on it.
The Rolex.
Holding onto a crisp $5 bill. I'll pay you five more. Just pull me out. Oh, we have fun here.
Oh,
people drowning
boy.
On golf courses.
You
jeez.
Know, racism on the golf course.
Always a fun time. I went underwater this weekend in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yay!
Where some of the racetracks just go underwater.
You got a segue.
I found the seg. I
you
had to.
Found
I was like, okay,
it.
Where's the seg? There
Mario's
it is.
Cold,
Mario Kart,
dead hand.
Yeah, sticking
Mario
out.
Also plays golf.
It's true. He's a
know?
Golfer. Just the white glove.
Just the white glove.
God.
The cold, dead white glove.
I actually played. I played Mario Kart in a cafe. Well, okay. In a Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, wow, wait, how did
coffee.
You end up on cafe
so, are you from Boston?
I wanted to generalize, and I was like, oh, well, if I was talking about Starbucks, if it had happened in the Starbucks, I would have said cafe to genericize it, but
uh-huh.
It didn't happen in Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, I have to be honest, that's not a fucking cafe, come on, let's be
it's a patissier, you're right.
You're right.
Yes.
Thank you, Rob.
If you're in New England, it is
see,
a cafe,
so I was actually, I was inspired in a Starbucks, because I was, like, doing work at a Starbucks yesterday, and, like, two, like, just good old-fashioned New York bros came in.
Good.
And got themselves some lattes and sat down at the seat next to me and took out a Switch and set it up.
What?
And we're just like, and just started playing Mario Kart 8. And we're like being like loud in the most charming way.
Oh.
Like, fuck you, man. That was my star. Like, how'd you, don't steal all the item boxes. It's not fair. And like, it was so pure and good. It was so pure and good. And like, that inspired me. So that when I was meeting up for a coffee and a donut with a friend later, I was like, we're going to go in this corner. We're going to play some Mario Kart. We're going to be the people in the Switch ad playing Mario Kart together. And it was really fun. And like, I talked to the guys at the Starbucks about it, and they were like, this is the best thing Nintendo's done since the Wii. Like, this is obviously the future of video games. Like, they don't play games, but they love Nintendo. And so it was really interesting to see that in the wild.
And that, it was curious about, you know, Nintendo put out a press release this morning saying that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is off to the fastest sales that the franchise has ever seen.
Oh, I believe it.
Which is really interesting as a data point for sort of the Switch and like the momentum it might be hopefully carrying past, you know, Breath of the Wild.
Right.
But it's also fascinating from, like, I don't have a whole lot of interest in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe because I played it on the Wii U. For a lot of people didn't own a Wii U, and a lot of people that didn't own a Wii U now own a Switch, because I think Nintendo has successfully, at least so far, done what you are talking about here, is that like people are buying a Switch because they love Nintendo. They've successfully managed to like bring in some people and a wider audience that just kind of blinked on the Wii U. And so I think, you know, hopefully what Nintendo will be able to do with the Switch is successfully balance out like their big first party brand new games with these. While they are ports, they aren't ports to the vast majority of people who are buying them. And like Naughty Dog, I was going back and forth with someone on Twitter this morning, and I might end up writing about this, is that Sony did something similar with the PlayStation 4. Now, the PlayStation 3 was a much more successful platform than the Wii U was.
Oh, sure.
The Xbox 360 was, for a lot of people, the de facto hardware platform for them. And when the PS4 became sort of like the de facto hardware platform for a lot of people vis-a-vis Xbox One, the reason that Sony invested in a lot of remasters on the PlayStation 4 was not just because it was cheap and easy and fills in a lineup while you're developing your first-party software. It does do that. But Naughty Dog specifically talked about the fact that the vast majority of people that they saw buying PlayStation 4s had no experience with the PlayStation 3 and with the Uncharted series. And so there were all of these games that aren't just ports but are actually brand new experiences for people. And I think we're seeing a lot of that with Mario Kart 8, in which it is the most polished. You know, you can quibble over what is the best Mario Kart, but I think it is unequivocally that Mario Kart 8 is a really great one of the best Mario Karts.
It's a good one. It's gorgeous, and like, it looks really clean on that screen. It's one of those things where, like, just being able to look over and see those two guys playing it on the table next to me. I hadn't launched it on the screen yet. We'd played it here a little bit, but like, seeing it run on that, you know, it's a 720 screen, but like, it's just so crisp and clean and colorful and bright in a way that I think is really impressive given the fact that it's a portable system. Like, obviously the Vita has existed, which is a beautiful system also, especially with the original OLED screens. Like, gorgeous, gorgeous, like, beautiful, but not Nintendo beautiful. Like, Nintendo has a certain way of designing characters and color that pops. And so to see that just on a table is like a little bit not mind blowing, but like, it's shaking in a way that's like, oh, right. Like, if I didn't own a Switch, seeing this would encourage me to think about – I'd go to the internet and see how much one of those things was if I didn't already know. And that's a really – a surprising but cool thing.
Experiences like that Persona 5, for example, is a game that I desperately wish was on the Switch. It is perfect for that platform. A lot of games bother me normally, like, the trade-off with the Switch or with a handheld and playing on your TV is that, oh, we're going to lose all this fidelity and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, there are a lot of trade-offs in playing on a handheld version. And those trade-offs do exist on the Switch, but not to the degree that those trade-offs existed before, where Persona 5 is a game I would prefer to play on the Switch. I wish I could be in bed. I would find more time to play that game if it was on a platform that I could bring with to more places where I could squeeze in those times that
I normally 30 minutes.
Those times where I'm normally playing a mobile game or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, for that matter, like, there are lots of Wii U games that I would love to see on the Switch.
Sure.
Not only for me as someone who's like, oh, I never finished Xenoblade Chronicles X, but, like, I would love to be playing that game on a bus. I'd love to revisit that. Or, obviously, like, Mario Maker and stuff. Or Bayonetta 2.
Captain Toad.
Like, we've talked before about how the Wii U actually has a pretty good selection of games.
An awesome selection of games.
Yeah. It's not Xbox 360. It's not PS2. You know what I mean? But, like, it has the 15 to 20 games that, like, would define a system as having, like, oh, yeah, those are all games you'd want to play.
I would put up the Wii U's best games versus any other platform's best games, and the Wii U would do just fine. Games like Super Mario 3D World are, like, some of...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The best platformers ever made. And like, so many people did not play that game. Like, that game desperately needs to be brought to the Switch because, A, I want an excuse to play it again, and B, there's just, like... It bums me out that there were so many great games on the Wii U that I'm excited for. Like, it's different than I look at other remasters where I look at, like, there are so many people that missed out on so many great games, and there's an opportunity for them to experience, like, Captain Toad. Like, that game is a fantastic platformer.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which came out last year, for me, scratched. If that game hadn't come out last year, I'd probably be way more into Persona 5 than I am, but I got that itch scratched last year pretty firmly with, like, a really beautiful game that not many people played because not as many people owned a Wii U. I'd love to see them get a chance to play that.
And last one, I had contractually obligated as the Donkey Kong Country fan, Tropical Freeze is real good.
Totally.
Good.
I believe you.
Zombie U is amazing. Probably won't agree. Just going to put
I've heard Zombie U is amazing. Great I've heard game. That. That's out. That's now out on other platforms via Zombie, right?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
PC, at least.
It leveraged the Wii U tablet in some interesting ways, so, like, it's not, like, it is not one-to-one when you play it on other platforms. Like, it's fine. It's still
It's not as good.
It's like, it's missing, like, I would say it's, like, 5-10, like, it feels like it is a lesser experience by, like, you know, almost, not in a score sense, but, like, it's 10% less of a game, right? There's a thing that the game was designed to do that is now gone, and you definitely can, like, note its absence.
Yeah.
Right. And Pikmin 3 also came out on that platform. It was a good
Breath of the Wild,
Pikmin
worth
game.
Saying. That's also on
Breath
there.
Of the Wild, but that's also already out on Switch. So.
I know. I'm just
but
saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
totally...
we're talking about great games.
I have a quick question, just because I am from the land of PC, so I don't understand how, like, Switches work. The only Switch I know is the one that Grandma would break off. And anyway.
Not where I thought you were going with that.
I thought you were going to a different Switch, actually.
Different place, not grandma. Not grandma related.
No.
Well
it's,
grandma be grandma.
You know, the old country could
You're
be a harsh land.
Absolutely right.
Don't
You're
shame grandma.
Right.
Grandma does whatever the fuck she wants.
I didn't mean to shame grandma.
Don't
she's been on this,
shame
she's been
grandma.
Whoa. Where did this get kinky?
She's been on this planet.
What the hell?
For a long
grandma
time.
Grandma can do whatever the fuck she wants.
That's all I'm saying.
I just meant, like, with one's grandma.
The word Switch
That's
has many
A whooping isn't kinky. I don't think.
Well, again, you gotta talk.
All right.
To ask your question.
All right. Well, I had a question. Now I have so many more. But so Austin, when you saw these bros, who I can only imagine were like the Pokemon movie bros in that one video clip.
Dude, they sounded so much.
That's
like
so good.
The Snorlax is saving everybody, bros. Like,
that ain't no Pokemon. That's a Chinese myth dragon.
It sounded so much like they said something very specific about a fire flower that, like, made me, I don't remember what it was exactly, but I was like, I'm in that video.
You did it.
That's not a Pikachu. That's a Raichu, dick. Like, that's, I heard him. It's them. People should Google Snorlax saves Pokemon.
Yeah.
If they don't know what I'm talking about.
But if you had wanted to join in their reindeer games, if you want to be like, bros, I also have Mario Kart. Let's do this.
Yeah.
How easy would it have been for you to just, like, pull up a chair and be like, let me get in on this with my Switch and let's play some Mario Kart? Like, how, like, could it have turned into
Joy-Con,
a full, like...
Right?
Well, so, yeah, I could have just joined them with the Joy-Con, I think.
Yeah.
I need to actually look at, a chart, because there are different, like, like arrangements for how many players can hook into different configurations.
I'm
trying really hard
sure
not to make this sound horny
can,
also.
Yeah.
There's a whole weird
there
etiquette.
There is a way. There's okay,
but can you daisy chain switches?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do 4-player local multiplayer all on one screen. So I could have just said, hey, I have a Joy-Con. Can I play with you on your screen? It would have gone to 4 instead of 2. I can't remember if it's a horizontal or a vertical split. But I could have just said, hey, here is my Switch. I want to play on my Switch.
Oh, yeah.
But I think – so what I'm looking at says 2 to 8-player wireless multiplayer – each on one Switch screen. So I don't know if I could do 2 on one screen, one on another. That's the thing where it would fall apart. But they were playing online, so I could have just joined their game through the Starbucks Wi-Fi. So at that point, the Starbucks Wi-Fi went to shit, and so I left. I can't say for sure it was them, but they were winning those races, so.
You know, using all that bandwidth.
Yeah.
Mario's. You know, it's not going to power itself.
That's clearly not. Anyway, that was my seeing the Switch in the wild experience, which was surprising but joyful.
Sounds
delightful. And then I got a donut and coffee with a friend, and we did a little Ford race set, and that was fun. And
that
it was like
great.
The most fun I've had in a multiplayer situation in the world with
a
Switch.
Or a Dunkin' Donuts.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Maybe that's true. I spent a lot of time in my life. I'm from New Jersey. I'm from the East Coast.
I understand.
Yeah, I'm not looking down on
Boston.
No Dunkin' Donuts. Believe me.
I'm not either. I used to work in one.
I got too many of them around to make that choice.
Patrick, we should pilot that other podcast this week.
We should.
This is our chance.
You're right.
We'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk. Don't worry.
It's a teaser.
That's a teaser. That was just
make good on like a 4-year-old idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sounds good. Okay. Anybody else playing any video games? Oh, also briefly on the Switch, I've been playing a little bit of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Oh.
But I'm not like I've played through like the first act of the game. There's a campaign and it's the thing it is, and I don't it's cool. I'm bad at puzzle games. I'm really bad at Puyo Puyo.
Puyo is also no Tetris Attack, which is the superior puzzle game.
I haven't played Tetris Attack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm bad. You gave me a look. You gave me a look like why would
you feel like you're bad at puzzle games. Do you mean like action-y puzzle games?
No, I mean like Tetris. And Puyo Puyo.
I put Tetris in a different category than, like, a Portal puzzle. You know what I mean?
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
I kind of do.
The sort of, like, order of operations puzzle versus quick movement. I guess, like, a Twitch puzzle game, not Twitch the
Twitch,
platform.
Twitch.tv, right, which we're streaming to. That's Twitch.tv/Waypoint.
Right,
no, I gotcha.
Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah, like, like shrine puzzles in Zelda or Portal
puzzles,
environmental puzzles. Yeah, I do okay at those. I've like the trine games definitely have frustrated me before.
Gotcha.
In a way that makes me not like myself.
See, I feel the same. I really love traditional adventure games, but they make me feel bad as a person constantly. Usually, like I'm playing through. I went back to Thimbleweed Park. And I really enjoy it, and it's clearly a game that has learned a lot of lessons about like puzzle design and pacing in the years since, despite the aesthetic and mechanical way you interact with the world. And yet, there are still plenty of times where it's just like I don't know what to do, which is like the point of the game. The game is meant like you're supposed to just like poke and prod and figure out the quirk that you're that allows you to keep going. But it's a game that. It's a genre that I have made my peace with the fact that I have a 2-monitor setup and I put the walkthrough on the other side. And I'm not just using it to play the game. I give myself like a certain frustration threshold, and then at a certain frustration threshold, I just say, just look at what you're supposed to do. Like it's why I wish more games had hint systems that are like like I can't remember what was the game that I was playing that had like. There are like 3 levels of hints. It was like the first hint was vague, the second hint was like vaguely specific, and then the third hint was just like, all right, dude, here's what you're supposed to do next. And I wish games
was
had that built in. It might have maybe.
I think
it might not
like
be.
They have those.
Maybe several games have used that, but that's like my preferred. Like I really just want someone to be like, hey,
right.
You know, as opposed to a walkthrough, which is explicit. But because I want to keep moving and I'm not willing to, like, it's going to ruin the experience of playing the game for me if I if I just sit there and bang my head. And so I meet it halfway by just having the walkthrough there. And it's like, okay, all right, there's the thing. And, you know, so yeah. I'll end up solving 95% of the puzzles. But that 5%, I'm unwilling to let that drag it down for me. Even though I know people that's the appeal of those games.
Professor Layton does it, and so does Zero Escape, apparently.
Okay, then Zero Both Escape might be what I'm thinking of, because that's I've played through that series.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
For sure.
I remember Pandora Directive, which is one of Tex Murphy games, had an interesting approach. I think it gave hints.
Yeah.
But also, in addition to giving hints, it also just had a setting where it was like, look, how into puzzles are you? And if you were like, right. I gotta be honest, I'm not that into puzzles. I'm not a real puzzle master. The game would just be like, okay, well, 86, the really hard ones.
Good. But that's cool.
If you were into that, it was like, okay, so here's your World War II code-breaking puzzle, basically.
Oh, and Thimbley Park has a similar setting. Like, when you start the game, it says, hey, do you just want to, like, laugh along to the dialogue and see some cool pixel art? Then here's the version of that game for you.
Zero in on that. Yeah.
But I don't want, like, I want, you know, like, I want the other one. I just want a little bit of help occasionally with, you know, the spots where I get stuck. So it's a weird balancing act. But yeah, the Zero Escape games do that really well, usually.
Cosmic Star Heroine just came out from Zeboid Games, and that has a split in the difficulty settings that makes certain fights just disappear, or certain bosses that would be, like, required either become optional or just become cutscenes instead. Huh. And I think that's, like, an interesting take.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, my understanding is it doesn't necessarily do a great job. I haven't played this game, but I'm friends with someone who reviewed it, and they were telling me that, like, it doesn't necessarily communicate to you what things are being skipped, except that when you go to look at a walkthrough for something, you realize, like, oh, I didn't have that boss fight at all. Weird.
Oh, that cutscene. I remember them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's like – I like seeing developers try out different things for difficulty modes and more of that, please.
I like a lot of that. I definitely play the puzzles for my girlfriend in a lot of games because she hates environmental puzzles. She hates them with a passion. So she's playing something – all I've ever played of Dragon Age Inquisition – are the puzzles.
Right, and those puzzles aren't great.
But I really enjoy environmental puzzles, but there are definitely the types that annoy me. Like, anything with, like, actual code breaking, I'm usually like,
skip it. Yeah.
Whatever.
You know what, that's the thing, is like, I like mysteries more than puzzles, if that means anything. Which is to say, like, I'm trying to, like, figure out if there is a difference here. I don't necessarily like the thing about, like, a Tetris or even, like, a Trine, which I don't dislike those games, but I can be frustrated by them, is when it's like, okay, here's your objective, solve that objective, do that objective. Maybe this is backwards. I don't know. I don't know what I like. I think I like it when puzzles are good. You know what? I'm gonna become
Portal's
regressive.
Really good.
And instead of
Legend
trying
Zelda
to
puzzles are really
right,
good.
Instead of, like, trying to figure out my taste, I'm just gonna say I like good things, and things I don't like are bad. That's
good
way easier
good.
To do than to. It's hard to do that on a podcast sometimes and dig into your own thing. Anyway, video games. Anybody else play anything? Rob, how is the front, the Viking front? How are the raids going? How is your, like, you painted us a portrait on Friday for people who maybe didn't listen yet. You painted us a portrait of a kind of a conniving, like,
conniving. That's weakling. One way to put it. It just be uncharitable.
Dishonorable. What else? What are the other...
Klingons don't like him.
Klingons...
Here's his one secret.
Klingons don't like him. Here's his secret.
You know.
Viking, like...
When did...
Thane? What level of Viking were you?
I was a low-level Thane, but I have hopes of graduating to higher Thane status.
To Jarl, like, status?
Thane of Cawdor type thing.
A place, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm a little concerned that my Viking character has become a referendum on me. So it turns out last week I was having a lot of trouble because maybe my guy was a little too delicate for the Viking world. And it turns out that Expeditions Viking...
That's the name of the game.
Yeah. Defaults to a really, really high difficulty level and never asks you. So you roll your character and it's just like, cool, let's just dive in on the default level. And
you know what? You know what else has a really high default difficulty setting? Being a Viking.
Yeah. Yep.
It's tough. There's axes. There's feasts.
Are you throwing shade on Rob before he even gets to his story?
He's throwing an axe of shade.
It's pre-shade. I want him to dig himself out of the shade.
Austin's not too far off. Like, I just wrote an article about my early experiences in expeditions. But literally, the first thing that happens is your cousin is like, "Grr, I should be Thane instead. You must best my axe." And I'm like, "I've got a bow?" And
I think that's a good solution to an axe, frankly.
Yeah, but not when you're in a
far away.
Not when you're in a ring is the problem.
Oh, it's, no, that's a bad idea.
It's like it's like showing up to Hell in a Cell with a lyre kind of situation.
Right.
Like
I gotcha.
That's kind of what happened in there.
A lyre, like an instrument you play, not like a guy what lies.
Right.
Okay.
A lute, let us say.
If the liar is also good with an axe.
Right, in which case, that guy's all right.
You know?
But no, you're not, because he's a liar. He's actually there to hurt you. That's
the lie.
My
God, he's a double agent.
He comes out, he has like a harp on his shirt.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he's actually the other type of liar. He rips the shirt off, and there's an axe underneath. And then he gives you like an axe handle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. It's a whole thing.
So, once I realized the difficulty was just way too high, the game got way more playable, to the point where maybe it's a bit of a problem. Like, the hardest difficulty is impossible, and one notch down from that, I am just, like, steamrolling people. Like, it is all
That's
the Vikings descending on the undefended Saxon coast and just, like, raising all kinds of hell. But the other thing is, I'm just... This game, like, I think I might still be in the tutorial, but I've been playing for 10 hours, so it feels like maybe the tutorial should be over, and I should be in the main game. But it keeps, like, forestalling a lot of game mechanics, right? So, like, I don't have a longship yet. Like, what kind of Viking doesn't have a longship? Apparently, my kind of Viking.
One. Yeah, wait, how are you... I think you're just a dude. I don't think you're a Viking. I think you're just a guy with a bow.
You're cosplaying.
No, I'm...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Austin, I'm a Viking.
Which is fine.
I'm a Viking. I
That's
feel it.
That's what a cosplayer would say,
you can't,
I think.
Right,
is inside.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I might be a little peace bonded right now, but...
Look, out of all of us, Rob, you would do best in a Viking situation, okay?
Completely.
In real life, like, let's be honest.
Let's just be clear. Yeah, this is our natural anxiety that we are all not very much like Vikings.
You could do more damage with an axe than all of us.
I appreciate that, Danielle, but here's the thing. I gotta believe that a little bit of stamina counts for something in Viking land, in which case I think you might actually have the edge, because, like,
that might be true.
I think you are gonna be able to run from the longship that I don't even have, from the longship to the British town
need a boat.
Without getting wounded. And if things go bad, you'll be able to leave.
Right, right. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Just wave and then, like, run up to Scotland.
See you later. I'm going to go be a Scotsman lady.
Whereas, meanwhile, I'm just going to be, like, leaning against a tree, just, like, wheezing for breath and being like, let me tell you, my persuasion skills, like, through the roof. You just...
Everyone calm down. Listen to this. I got some good-ass poetry. Let me sing you the song.
And you break out your lyre.
Of my people. And then I bring out the lyre, and we got him, Rob. You and me.
I know I was trying to loot your village, like, 10 minutes ago.
But now I'm going to loot your village. And then you start playing your loot.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good.
So, yeah, so, like, I'm still trying to figure out where this game is headed. Like, is it a full-on tactics game? Is it, like, sort of a Thea the Awakening thing where it's about, like, managing your settlement and building up your town? It seems to point in both directions, and I'm not really sure, like, where it's headed overall, which is really... filling me with kind of dread, because I'm making a lot of choices about, like, character construction. Like,
sure.
A lot of skill points are already assigned, so if it's suddenly going to turn into, all right, it's all axes and ass-kicking all the time, then my guy's going to be in some he's going to be in some trouble. But if it's about,
you gotta,
like...
You've got to persuade somebody to fight for you, I guess.
I do have people for that.
Okay.
Here's a question. Is this a situation where what you need is to be... the badass yourself, but then also have someone who is the talky person? Like, do you need a face to work for you instead of being that person yourself?
I don't think, because a lot of the talky options occur in dialogue, and I don't think your party member's stats matter for that. The other thing is, I don't think there's actual chance to a lot of these things. Like, you'll be told, like, oh, this is a hard perception check, but... I have max perception, and I have never failed one of those rolls, which makes me think that it's literally just a stat check. Do you have the requisite number to like meet this challenge. And if you do, it'll happen every single time. So that's the other question I'm starting to wonder, because like everything just comes up Milhouse. Which is pretty apt considering the dude I've rolled.
Yeah,
yeah, but, you've kind of made yourself a Milhouse.
But yeah, so it's pretty cool. The other thing is that, well, this is the other weird thing. So it's all Viking themed, and a big part of like developing your settlement is speeding up the work by using thralls.
Uh-huh.
And thralls are slaves.
Yeah, ooh, those are slaves.
Yep.
And the game is really clear about like, look, if you don't speed up the work, you're probably not going to get all your bonuses. But then the game also has all these quests where you encounter like thralls out in the wilderness who are like, please don't make us go back to the Vikings. We're fleeing from our life of oppression. And so I'm like, God, I was so much more comfortable with you guys when I was like, when you were an abstract game concept.
And
but
not
now, but now I got to do something about this.
Now you're confronted by your own actual morality instead of your pretend Milhouse Viking morality.
Oh boy.
Actually, this is a really good lead into a question that we got. If I can pivot really quick and at least answer one of the questions I've pulled from the old question bucket. If you want your questions to show up in the question bucket, send them to gamingadvice.com. Use the subject question. This one comes in from Andrew, who says, "We are so used to killing a ton of people or aliens or orcs with little to no explanation of why. They're Nazis. What else do you need?" And that's, let's say, curious. But what games treat their enemies as NPCs? In other words, as actual living, breathing entities in the world, not as hit points or attack machines placed in the level. I'm watching your permadeath series. I also finished Breath of the Wild myself. And you can see glimpses of everyday activity of bokoblins and moblins. They live in camps. They cook. They sleep. But most enemies in that game are just that, enemies for Link to sneak around and or kill. Lizalfos hide in the snow or sand. Why? Are they hunting like that? Lynels are proud and honorable, maybe. They're warriors who just kind of hang around for no reason. At least the majority of Breath of the Wild enemies fight kind of logically. They defend themselves, they pick up weapons, they occasionally retreat, etc. The obvious answer, says Andrew, would be something like Stellaris, but only because your opponents use the same vocabulary of actions that you do. So chess, games like Dark Souls create in-world explanations for why everyone is acting like a zombie. I've never played this War of Mine. I feel like I'd be too stressed all the time, but maybe that's a good example. What are some other examples of games that treat their enemies as NPCs, as player or as characters in their own right?
There's a really tiny little game, little itch.io game.
Hmm?
It's an itch.io.
Uh-huh.
By Alexander Van Chestein.
Mm-hmm.
Who does some of the art for the cool wrestling thing that we do at PAX.
League of Heels. True, she
League
does.
Of Heels. It's called This Dungeon Is So Cool, and it's a dungeon crawler where every enemy that you meet is sort of an NPC that you have to destroy with compliments. You have to kill them with kindness.
Great, good.
And they don't actually die. They get converted to compliment you.
Okay.
It's a lovely inversion of the usual thing.
Do they have names? Do they have desires?
They have names and desires, and they have they talk about who they are, mm-hmm. things like that. It's really cute and good.
Persona 5 actually does the Shin Megami Tensei series, where you can negotiate with your enemies.
Yes,
they're not
I
named
love that.
Characters
yeah.
who necessarily have huge backstories. Like, you are just rolling through a dungeon and fighting like weird goblin guys and imps and penis monsters and stuff, because
that's
of those. The series
that
it is. But in 5 and in some of the previous SMT games, you're able to be like, hey, well, slow down. What if I give you this potion? Or like, what if I completely try to flirt with you? Or what if I insult you? Like, what's going to get this to not be a fight? And I think that's a neat system.
Yeah,
does anybody else
rad.
Have any examples of it?
I mean, you know, famously, one of my favorite moments in, from Fallout New Vegas is that, if you have max speech, the final encounter in that game is completely avoidable. And I completely avoided it because you can just...
Right.
Talk this villain you've been chasing out of doing the thing that's supposed to be this main driving conflict at the very end of the game, and then the game just ends, or ends in the way that any of those open world games end, where you can just go do whatever the hell you want. But and there are other examples of games that do that, but in modern times that is pretty rare. And it was, as someone that likes to drive up the speech points as much as possible in games like that, it was satisfying that you could take that to its logical conclusion, which is just to actually diffuse one of the central conflicts in the game through speech as opposed to your gun. And, that was a really satisfying moment.
Totally. Rob, what do you think of the Stellaris example? or any like strategy game example at all.
The Solaris one, I mean, is a good one because you're, but I think it's a good one actually because it causes you to behave more like the AI factions in a lot of way, because like you are constructed out of the same like species modules that everyone else is, that you don't have any more, you can't express any more than the other AI factions can in that game. So you're all kind of working from the same, you know, the same sheet of music, which actually is kind of a cool thing. As far as strategy games, like, well, this War of Mind is an interesting one because I think for the most part, the NPCs aren't real, but it wants you to feel bad about them. I think it's sort of like the Metal Gear thing, where like after you kill the Beauty and the Beast squad members, you get their sad backstory.
Yeah, you get their like, yep.
And this War of Mine definitely like is, I came here to rob you. Well, you can't have any of my stuff. I guess I'll go off and die then. And that's kind of how that game goes. And I like this War of Mine. Like, it is kind of an affecting, just emotional grind of a game. But, like, it is sort of pulling this trick again and again and again.
Metal Gear Solid 5 is an example, though, actually, where because you can recruit all of those people, they do technically all have names. And, like, they don't necessarily, like, have big backstories. But there are in my head, like, some other tactics games that let you do that. Where, like, oh, yeah, like, that's a person who has random stats. I guess like Shadow of Mordor has that to a lower degree. One of my favorite things in tabletop gaming has been a move towards that in a certain style of tabletop role-playing game. The game that we played, Dungeon World, has, during our 72-hour stream, has one of its like principles for the GM who's running the game is like, name every human. Every human should have a name and an instinct. Even monsters, even goblins at least have like, they have a thing that they want to do. They're not just like warm.
Faceless.
They're not faceless things. Yeah. And it's a different thing that they want than what a kobold culture would want, than what an orcish culture would want. And it still plays into like the D&D tropes, but like, at least those are characters who have desires and are not just like, oh, they're just a box of hit points for you to hit.
Yeah.
And then Apocalypse World, which is what a Dungeon World and a lot of other similar tabletop games are based off of, like straight up says like, there's a name everyone, make everyone human. And that's like a Mad Max game. So that's a game in which like, yeah, even like the badass, like shitty guy who runs the civilization of cannibals, like you gotta give him a name. He can't just be the cannibal chief. Like he might call himself the cannibal chief, but that's Greg.
But
you know, that's fucking Greg as the GM. You know, that's Greg and he came from a place and at some point he ate his first person. And that was probably not great.
Yep.
Or maybe it was fine. Maybe he's just a born cannibal. I don't know. I don't know about Greg. I didn't meet Greg.
You know, so. Greg has his own stuff going on, you know?
It's true. I think here's some other really great questions, but I think we might have to get out of here today, unfortunately. Again, if you have any questions, you can send them into the question bucket by using the subject question and sending it to gamingadvice.com. That's going to do it for us this Monday. Stay tuned for the rest of Pilot Week. New stuff coming every day.
Yeah.
Forms are launching today. We're going to do some new editorial stuff. What else are we going to do this week? Patrick is going to do a little streaming, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Are we announcing stuff here or should I work it out? We'll hold it.
We teased it.
I teased it. Patrick's going to play a game.
I have two different things that I'm hoping, you know, people have been asking, you know, for me to do some more streaming, and I've wanted to, and I'm working that out, and it looks like there'll be two different things I'll be doing and kind of premiering this week, so stay tuned for that.
I'm excited for that. You can find me on the internet at Austin_Walker. You can find everything we do at Waypoint at waypointadvice.com, at digitalpyramids.com.
Yeah.
Which I've learned has been renewed for another year. It was one of our other question askers, and we'll try to get to in the future. Renewed it. You can find everything else we do at twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypointvice. Go give us a follow there. If you're on Facebook, if you're a face hugger, if you're a face hugger, stay
your
away.
Movie's coming out soon, so it's fine.
What do you think about it? Is that going to be okay? And we'll talk later.
I'm going to see it.
That'll be a whole podcast.
We're going to see it regardless.
Yeah, we're going to see it, no matter what. That's true. Danielle, where can people find you on the internet?
Danielle R.I. on Twitter.com.
Patrick.
You can find me at Patrick Lupik.
Rob Zachney.
At Rob Zachney.
Shout outs to Tim Barnes, our producer. You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/TimBarnes451. Shout outs to Brad, who is doing the production for us today. Brad, are you on the internet? What's your Twitter handle?
You can find me at Brad with two D's.
Brad with two D's.
Underscore Bush.
Brad with two D's,
yeah.
Underscore Bush on Twitter, presumably?
Yes.
Presumably,
there we
yes.
Go.
Yes, there it is. Shout outs to Brad. Shout outs to Bowen for letting us use the song Miss You off of his EP, Pale Machine. You can find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. And also, we premiered Leon's album over the weekend. You can find
really
that and come listen to that at waypoint.vice.com. It should be on the homepage still if you're hearing this within the first day of us recording it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you throughout the week with some streams and videos and everything else. After that, we'll be back on Friday. We can recap and kind of say, like, hey, how'd that go? How did the pilot week go?
How did you feel about those pilot wins?
What did you think of the one with the cardboard cutouts?
Yeah.
Because that's coming. What do you think about the one about Clue? That was interesting.
That
huh?
was special.
Let's get some feedback.
Very special.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you on Friday. Peace.
Be good or be good at it.
Say it loudly.
Be good or be good at it.
There it is. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.